Second now, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, you can also listen live at TheVinnieEastwoodShow.com and also the chat room in there. If you just Google Vinnie Eastwood chat, it should produce some form of result. Suzanne Posel is my very special guest from Occupy Corporatism. What is the news today?
Well, let's see, where should we start? Let's start with Angelina Jolie's mastectomy.
I thought that was the most insane, crazy thing that I've ever heard of in my entire life. I've got some of the best boobies in the world. Let's cut them off.
Because I might come down with cancer.
Because you keep going to get your frickin' mammograms, which cause the cancer.
Or let's talk about the parabens in all of your bathroom products and all the food and all the packaging that when they do the biopsies for the breast tumors is 99% paraben.
Yeah, and maybe
the GMO food,
spraying fly spray everywhere too.
No. We have to prevent this by getting, and by the way, incidentally, she's going to have a full hysterectomy before she turns 40, and she's 37 right now, so.
What is a hysterectomy exactly?
She's going to get rid of.
Is that like when you do surgery on history and then rewrite it?
She's good. Jesus, she's going to get rid of her ovaries, everything that would facilitate her being a woman.
Why doesn't she go whole hog and become a quadriplegic amputee or something like that, you know? I might get arm cancer. Let's cut my frickin' arms off.
I might get skin cancer. Let's get rid of that.
Yeah. I don't need my skin. I can survive with that. Oh, my God. Hey, I might get colon cancer. Let's get that removed, too.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Everybody likes to poop in a bag.
Just cut it off at the pass, you know. Dodge that
bullet. No pun intended.
You couldn't be kidding. I mean, well, look, we're laughing about it. But the fact of the matter is people are actually stupid enough to look at her as an example and go, you know, that's a really
yes.
brilliant thing to do. I'm going to be around longer for my children if I don't have any boobies.
This is exactly what it was. And the company that does the blood test, some of the people who run the company are from Pfizer Pharmaceuticals, GlaxoSmithKline, Ernst & Young, which is a technocratic hedge fund.
Sweet.
Yes. And well, by the way, folks, the BRCA1 and BRCA2 gene, everybody has it, okay? And even on the National Institutes of Health website, they state that just because you have a mutation does not mean that you're going to come down with cancer. So this is a publicity stunt.
It's a publicity stunt for the huge, major, mega pharmaceutical hedge fund scumbaggery individuals to get everybody to go get their breast exams, which will give them cancer, which will finance the cancer industry, who, you know, apparently never seem to be running out of patients anyway. And if it doesn't give you cancer, then, oh, well, you'll probably get your boobs cut off beforehand at great cost to yourself. Now, I was wondering, what kind of emotional trauma does that put across, having a part of you cut off if you're not a complete woman?
Well, I can tell you that doing research on women who had full hysterectomies in the 50s when they were like, yeah, let's just get rid of it. It does massive amounts of damage to the body of a woman because the hormones go completely out of whack. It does horrible, and then you have to go on hormone therapy or replacement therapy, which again does absolute damage to the female body. So yeah, sure. If you might, you know what? I might get into a car accident. In fact, statistically speaking, I'm in more danger in my car than anywhere else. So I should stop driving. Everyone, get out of your car and stop driving.
Yeah, stop being a pedestrian instead. I'm sure that's a lot more safe.
Yeah, don't cross the street because you're likely to get hit by a car.
Unless you're in LA where they've got the pedestrian right-of-way law where you can just step on the road anywhere you want and everybody has to go and let you through.
Yeah, go ahead and try that one. Yeah, just don't walk in New York because they think of you as a target if you're going to cross the street.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's like, what do you do when you're about to hit a deer? You don't slow down. You speed up, you know.
It's like Frogger.
Bad
it's like
call,
a game
brother.
Of Frogger.
Yeah. I mean, straight up.
It's ridiculous. This is selling female sterilization. And who is the best person, the best spokesperson to vie for this, but the beautiful, illustrious, well-known, well-respected Angelina Jolie, CFR member. Her husband is a third cousin of Obama. Yeah, let's listen to her.
Her husband's a third cousin of Obama?
Yeah, like a third or fourth cousin.
Well, that's Brad Pitt we're talking about, right?
Yes.
Oh my God. The plot thickens.
Yeah.
Now, didn't Brad Pitt get busted in Eastern Europe or something with smuggling weapons, like guns and grenades and things like that on the movie set of World War Z? Did you hear about that?
I did not. Wow.
Yeah. And apparently that's what the CIA does a lot of the time. You know, they're really, really into the movie industry because, hey, lots of movies have lots of guns. And you can actually use the movie as a cover to ship guns into places where you're not allowed to sell them to people. Like, you know, former Soviet republics, for example.
I never thought I would be shocked, but I'm actually shocked by this. I never thought of that. These guys are ingenious.
So just think about like the little kids that are adopted. Hey, I'm your adoptive parent. I'm a plausible deniability gun runner, and I'm a boobless super babe.
That's right. And
man, that's a healthy developmental situation for any child, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And we have billions of dollars, billions.
Here's something else that'll really rock your boat. The government is closely monitoring all children because 1 out of 5 has a mental disorder.
Oh, according to them. And I wonder if they've got any blood tests to prove. Oh, wait, they don't, because it doesn't freaking exist.
It does not exist. In fact, the gentleman who is deemed the father of discovering ADHD came out on his deathbed and said that it was a fictitious disease.
Yeah, I made it up. So I could sell cocaine to kids.
Exactly. Yeah, the CDC says that 1 out of 5 has either ADHD or Tourette's, any kind of behavior disorder, mood, anxiety disorders, autism, or substance abuse. Where did they get the autism from? Oh, yeah, the vaccines.
Which the CDC recommends.
Right.
You can't make this stuff up.
Every once in a while, your kid gets frustrated, and yeah, they may cuss at you. That does not mean that they have Tourette's syndrome, okay, people?
Yeah, it means you're a bad parent.
And if you are working and you don't spend any time with your kids, or if you have some sort of reason why you don't spend any time with your kids, they don't have a mood disorder. They're lonely. They want attention. Put it down, whatever it is you're doing, and just spend some time with your kids. Buy a board game. If they still sell them, I don't know. Well, spend some time with your kids.
We had Lennon Honor on the show yesterday. He gave he birthed his own sons and children at home. And the great quote yesterday, I saw it on Facebook. It says, "The man who listens to his sons will know what to teach them." You know, This seems very simple logic. It's like you listen to a child, and your child will tell you what they need.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
I do that all the time. In fact, I encourage my children to talk. Now my son talks back, so I'm not so ready to encourage that. But we always encourage our kids. I want to know what you... In fact, my daughter, I should have done this with my son, but with my daughter, I taught her some sign language so I could know what she wanted. Otherwise, they just lay there screaming.
Yeah. If they have an inability to communicate, and how do you develop the ability to communicate? I wonder. Is it by chance by having experience communicating with people?
Then you can't do that unless you sit down with your child. You know, when your kid comes home from school, it's not another thing in your house. It's your child. Sit down and talk to them. Find out what they did in school. Find out what they're learning. You know, Find out what they want, what they like.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're exhausted. Just have a coffee with an extra scoop of caffeine or something so you've at least got the energy to do it. You know, you might burn out and get breast cancer, but hey.
But it's not because you have a mutation. It's because you're eating GMO. It's because of all the parabens and all of your ingredients and everything else. Yay. Oh, and the UN came out recently. This was an article everybody loved on my website. The UN said, hey, look, we have a problem here with sustainable growth and we're wasting all of these resources, feeding all these cows and chickens and pigs. Let's just eat insects.
Oh, yeah, that was big on the New Zealand media as well. Hey, the third world and underdeveloped countries eat insects all the time. Let's bring it to the Western world. Dude, you're eating bugs.
Disgusting. I'm sorry. I'm not eating a grasshopper. I'm just not.
I mean, I used to eat bugs as a kid, I think. But as far as I remember, they didn't taste no good. And what was funny is that they're trying to, like a sales pitch, you've got to dress it up and you've got to make it look a heck of a lot more attractive than it actually is. And they've gotten like world-class chefs here in New Zealand working on ingredients involving bugs to serve to their patrons. Okay. And I'm just thinking about this. Okay. What the hell is the point? What the hell is the point? You've got to be kidding.
They say that cows fart too much and they expel too much methane, and it's 18% of the CO2 in our atmosphere. So we've got to stop breeding all this livestock and start eating bugs because ants are more sustainable than cows.
Humans also emit carbon dioxide by breathing. Maybe we should get rid of them. That's the real agenda, isn't it?
I think so. And plants use carbon dioxide to breathe. So if we're not emitting CO2, then all the plant life will die. And if all the plant life dies, then we don't have a planet. Does anybody else get that point?
Wait, hold on a second. I didn't know that the cows emitted CO2. I thought it was mostly methane that they were worried about, which is allegedly a more even more powerful greenhouse gas, which is incidentally flammable.
Yes, and it's locked in underneath the ocean. So when they do all this crap with the ocean fertilization and lock up all the conveyor belts in the ocean, it releases the methane underneath the ocean. And so they're, you know, all the crap that they're, all the geoengineering that they're doing, changing all the weather patterns on the planet. Folks, it's not us. It's them. It is man-made, but it's not us. It's them.
Well, you know, there's parts of it, and the geoengineering thing is a very complicated scenario, because on the one hand, you've got the sun allegedly having an effect on the planet. I don't know how that works. And on the other hand, the measure that they're going to take in order to stop the sun from heating up the planet is to toxify the entire atmosphere with huge quantities of aluminium, barium, strontium, and chromium, and nano-aluminium-coated fiberglass and chaff and all of those other crap. You know, well, hold on a second. Have you ever heard the story of the woman who swallowed the spider to catch the fly in her soup?
Yes.
Same scenario. That's New World Order 101. Okay? If the climate is getting out of whack, make sure it gets even more out of whack, and then when it gets out of whack even more, try something else that's even worse. Okay, that's government policy in general, isn't it? And the U.S. Congress and the Senate and all these people, I don't think people realize that the people who are supposed to be governing you are freaking idiots. Some dude, I think, got up in Congress or the Senate or something like a couple of months back, and he asked them what the three branches of the U.S. government were. And everybody thought it was, you know, the executive branch and the Senate and the Congress. No, they all got it wrong. Not a single senator, congressman, or anybody knows what the substandard three branches of government is in the United States. And they're elected to represent you, which means... God. You're an idiot, and they're representing your stupidity at a higher level.
How many people right now?
And you think that the country's going to somehow improve by electing some other form of scumbag? You're going to be kidding me.
Well, how many people right now are scratching their heads going, the executive, the legislative, and the, what is that other one, honey?
See, it's not even that. It's like it's the states, the federal government, and the people. Those are the three branches of the U.S. government. Which, sadly, nobody knows. Maybe they don't care about their country. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com is my very special guest. Right back, just a few minutes, folks.
The world we knew is gone. The conditions which framed and taught us our standards have gone.
Radio.com, and my very special guest is Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. And I was thinking over the break about eating bugs, and you know who I blame for that suggestion that eating bugs would be a really brilliant idea? Bear Grylls, Man versus Wild. That guy chows down on bugs like there's no tomorrow. He's practically popularized the whole thing.
Yeah, but if they dropped everyone out of a helicopter into the middle of nowhere with just like a couple of tools, or maybe even not, does he get a backpack? Do they give him anything?
No, he got nothing.
If we all had to do that, of course, we would eat whatever we needed to survive. But we don't live in that world. We don't have to, so I'm not going to. I'm going to consciously boycott bugs. For consumption.
Okay. Now, here's the thing. Roach infestations. Apparently, they used to close restaurants down for that. Now, they will open a restaurant up at a roach infestation.
Oh my god, that would be terrible. Well, yeah, sure, they could make, they could skewer them and oh god, that's horrible.
Hey, you know, like George Carlin said, Americans will eat anything as long as you cover it in butter and some description of pastry.
That's probably true.
Oh my god. George, look. They've got roasted cockroaches on a stick with butter and pastry on them with a little bit of whipped cream. That sounds like the thing I've been looking for all these years. It must be so healthy and so good for me, and it's good for the environment, too. Oh, it's actually made with all the GMO crap and what have you. And in fact, you know what's probably going to happen? The Monsanto will go, hey, somebody's muscling in on our food monopoly. We need to start genetically modifying insects like a mimic.
Exactly. But they say that it'll create jobs because they need to have insect farms and it's good for the economy. It's good for the environment. Go ahead. Eat chocolate-covered ants. Yeah, you don't need chocolate-covered raisins. You know, you need chocolate-covered ants because it's protein.
Now, there are, in fact, a kind of ant, like they're honey-ass ants or something like that in Australia. They have these big bulges of sort of this sugary liquid honey type of stuff on their ass. And apparently they taste quite good.
Well, yeah, sure. Go ahead, box them up. Give them to your girlfriend and your wife for Valentine's Day and see what happens.
They'll open the box and go, ah! I really just... Okay.
Exactly.
Okay, let's do a visualization thing. Okay. There's a grub in New Zealand called a hoo-hoo grub. Okay? And it's got like a little, you know, feelers on its head, and it's kind of got like a wriggly kind of writhing caterpillar type body. And imagine you've got one in your mouth and it's wriggling around, and when you bite into it, all its guts and all this white creamy goo oozes all over your tongue. Does that sound appetizing? No.
No. No.
No.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Exactly. Okay. The West, you know what this is? This is just an all-out assault on the Western world.
Yes, it is. It's an attack. It's bad enough that when you go to Burger King or Taco Bell that you're eating horse, okay? But no, don't. No, don't. Well,
you know what they do, Suzanne, is they do it by transition. You know, they take a long period of time to get from point A to point B. So first they get us addicted to cow meat, chicken meat, right? Then they start replacing the cow and the chicken meat with horse meat. And then eventually they'll replace the horse meat with bug meat. And then eventually they'll replace it with Japanese poop meat. And before you know it, the whole world will be eating crap.
Literally.
Literally. I mean, you know,
get it down your throat, boy. That big turd burger, yeah.
You know,
yeah, it gives new meaning to the phrase, my diet is crappy.
Hey, well, you are what you eat.
Oh, there you go. There's another phrase I can't say on the air, but you all know what it means.
Yeah.
You're full of it.
Totally full. You know, I can't get enough. I can't get enough. It's just, look, I cannot understand the mentality, okay? There are people out there who actually believe that 90% of humans deserve to be exterminated. Okay, they actually believe it. They actually believe there's a population control crisis, okay? They have no idea what the birth rate is. If you have a look at the United States, birth rate is 1.6, 1.3. You need at least 2.4 to 2.6 in order to prevent your extinction. And people worried about overpopulation? You gotta be kidding me.
Look at what's going on in Japan. They have more elderly people than they do young people. And they're talking about the Japanese going out of existence over time. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Japanese aren't actually that worried about it. In fact, what's been happening is a lot of people have been saying that they need to import workers and things of that nature in order to supplement the workforce with its aging population so that they'll do all the work and get taxed all the money, and then they'll give all that taxation to the elderly who desperately need these apparently drugs and things of that nature and palliative care and what have you. And apparently the Japanese government is going, you know, bro, I don't think we want heaps of foreigners in here. We have a very well-working monoculture here. I mean, let's just get robots to do it. Let's get robots to do all the work. That's what they're planning to do. And it's brilliant as far as I can see. Isn't that actually a very good idea in order to get robots in order to do all the manual BS tasks and free up those who have creative potential, like human beings, for example, to invent new stuff? To create new businesses, create jobs and things of that nature, because they don't have to do all these really stupid things they have in a, I don't know. Every day is a constant drain on your time. Have you noticed that? You know, you got to come home, you got to do the dishes, you got to do the washing, you got to do the vacuuming, you got to do all this, that and the other. It'd be much easier if you could spend all your time being creative and making things, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, but... I wrote an article last year.
Double-edged sword.
Yeah. It is a double-edged sword because they say, well, you know, the CO2 levels are really high because of all the workers in the United States, so let's just replace them with robots. But then you've got a massive amount of people who are out of work. And why don't we just get rid of all those people anyway, right? Because we don't need them. We've got the robots to do it. Yeah, and then you're looking at all these people, like you mentioned before, these people who are before... getting rid of all these people. Well, guess who they want to get rid of? The you. Yeah. You're not exempt from that.
Exactly. You know, it's like everybody's got a purpose and what have you. But the thing is, lots of people, you don't really know what their purpose is. Like, it doesn't suddenly shine out like a beaming star or something like that. Like, oh my God, that person's a genius. They're great and what have you. Most people have talents and skills that you actually have to get to know the person first before you realize what their talents and skills are. And occasionally you'll meet somebody who has no talent, no skill, no ability of any kind. And you think, you know, maybe that person's better off not being here. And then it leads you down a very dark path of saying that people only have value as I perceive value to be. People don't have their own innate value. They don't. They lose their respect for human life just in general, don't they? And that's the only way you can justify killing people or replacing them or you know, destroying human society is if you no longer care about human life at all.
And it's trendy to do that. You know, I don't like the Mexicans. I don't like or not me personally, but people say I don't like this race or that race. And these are human beings and they have families and they have it could be you. Maybe they don't like you and your race or whatever you do or people don't think that way. They're so selfish. Yeah. They're so self-minded. They think that they're important and they contribute something and everybody else needs to be gotten rid of. But they want to get rid of us. They just want us around. And one of the reasons why they want so many robots is because they have this wild cockamamie idea of imbuing their consciousness into a synthetic neural net so that they can live forever. So it's not to help. We're not talking about the helpful robots. We're talking about like David Rockefeller somehow imbuing his consciousness into a robot so he doesn't have to die. That's where they're going. And you and I are guinea pigs for that.
Yeah, you'd be like Robo Rockefeller or Robo Rockefeller 2.
Hopefully he'll get a robot that looks better. You know, he really looks creepy and scary. You know?
Well, I don't know. Maybe he should get one that looks like the Terminator, you know, with a grinning skull with the glowing red eyes and stuff like that. That's very Rockefeller.
He would totally do that.
You know, I can just imagine his stylists and everything like that going, you know, Mr. Rockefeller, this could really work for you.
We'll just polish your creepy head.
Yeah. Yeah, with a belt sander. Angle grinders, toenails, major.
Yeah, right. Well, here's something else that I wrote about that's really creepy. MasterCard is leading the path to a world beyond cash. So MasterCard has teamed up with the Nigerian government, and they are issuing the National Identity Management cards that will be these biometric cards that have all of your information on them, and everyone has to have one. They have to be part of the database. There's no opting out. You have to have this. This is, if you're a citizen of Nigeria, you have to have this, period.
Nice. Well, you know what you do is, again, incrementalism. You try it on one country first. If that country doesn't revolt and freaking slay you, then you push the envelope just a little bit further. Do it in a neighboring country or one country on the other side of the world. And then if you get it to work in both of those societies and then manufacture some statistics of how much it's improved everybody's economy and reduced poverty or something of that nature, then you can use those fake statistics to convince other people and in other countries that, hey, they did it in Nigeria and it worked very well. They also did it in China and it works very well too. Really, Nigeria, that's plagued by civil war all the time and is run by some kind of brutal dictator that changes every other year, or in China that has like basically no right to protest or free speech of any kind unless you want to spend time in a prison camp for the rest of your frickin' days where they work you to death.
Yes.
Right. So. These are our shining examples. See, and again, the argument is basically there's no benefit unless it's economic, right? Quality of life doesn't enter into the factor, okay? Freedom, social liberties, things of that nature don't enter into the equation or whatever. The only thing that improves a country is the economic growth, right? I don't know if that's true. I think that if you've got a booming economy, but you're a slave, it's not that beneficial.
Well, that goes back to, like, here in the United States in 1928, when they started using Edward Bernays' concepts, they turned us into a desire culture so that we were always wanting something. So, you, like you said earlier, your worth is based on what you have and what you're able to acquire. It has nothing to do with who you are and what you're able to contribute.
See, and I'd like to say that you look at me, and I'm doing all this work and, you know, exposing scumbaggery and what have you, helping people get on air, blah, blah, blah. You know, one could argue that I do a lot of good things. However, I consider myself no more valuable than any one of my listeners. I'm no more valuable. Really. I'm a human being. They're a human being. As far as I'm concerned, we're equal. Our contributions may be different, but, you know, you still have inherent value as a human being, as do I. And I'll respect your rights, and I expect you to respect mine. And if you don't, then we've got a problem. And it's just the fundamental disagreement basis, you know. It's like, dude, are you willing to don a black uniform and bust into my house and kill me and my missus and take us away to some kind of a FEMA camp? Most people just go, no, I'm not keen on doing that, bro. Some people are like, okay. Well, actually, about 90% of people would say, yes, I will be willing to do that, so long as some guy with a massive a hat that has skull and crossbones on it and some kind of official a badge on his shoulders tells me to do it. Then I'll kill anybody. And that's the lesson of history, ladies and gentlemen. If an authority figure tells you to do something, 90% of people will say yes, and it's only the small, determined minority of 10% that say no. We'll be right back after the break. What an appropriate song.
I love it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show from which there is no escape. on American Freedom. And actually, you can. There's a pause button right there on the American Freedom Radio stream. You can pause it if you want to stop listening to people who actually care about the human condition. Now, you can get argue with people about semantics and things that are basically irrelevant all you want. And this is what people do. They choose to not contribute, and then they get bitter. And instead of going, hey, you know what? I'm just whinging and whining about crap. Maybe I should, do something, help people or something of that nature. And then there's other people who just go, no, my fault is everybody. My problem is everybody else's problem, and it's all their fault. And instead of helping or shedding light on the issue in any kind of meaningful way using the skills that I've got, I'll spend all the time arguing with people on Facebook. And that's my contribution to society, wasting people's time in pointless arguments on Facebook.
Well, you know, I think that if you make a statement, and if you're bold enough to make a statement, then you should stand behind it. And if you're going to apologize for that statement, you should actively, generally apologize for the statement and not how someone perceived the statement. But you should own what you say. And you should, and if you have to, be careful of what you say in public. If you can't say things that wouldn't be considered or that people would take offense to. If you're worried about that, then be careful of what you say in public and leave those comments to private. You know, when you're at home, when you're not in the public eye, or if you're not in the middle of a crowd speaking and the music goes off and everybody hears what you said.
Yeah, I can understand that. It's just the mentality behind not... I don't know what I'm saying here, really. I mean, it's just I've got this kind of pin on my fellow man, and I hate all humans, and they're all stupid, and I'm better than all of them, and anybody who argues with me is wrong, and I still live with my parents, and obviously I'm more successful than everybody else because of that,
If you still live with your parents, there's something wrong. You need to take a look in the mirror and sit down with yourself and talk to yourself for a minute. It's okay at that point to talk to yourself. Find out what's going on with you and look in the classified section and figure out how to get the hell out of your parents' house.
Yeah, I mean, and sometimes it takes a couple of attempts to leave the nest. You know, like I remember I went to university like straight out of high school, and I had to wind up going back to live with my mum. And that wasn't necessarily because I couldn't afford to live in Dunedin or anything like that. It was because I got frickin' busted and I got everything taken off me, and I couldn't. And I had really no choice. That's what family's supposed to be there for. If you really badly, desperately need their help for a short period of time, fine. But what's the mentality of socialism? Is taking advantage of a situation because you can, and using it as an excuse to avoid being independent. So right. If you're still living with your parents and mooching off them and so on and so forth, there's something wrong with that. And I'm not, I don't want to judge people who still live with their parents. I mean, maybe you've got a legitimate reason for not having your own place and your own life, or maybe your parents are sick and you need to stay home and take care of them and that kind of thing. You know, I'll make allowances for everything. But the fact of the matter is, it reflects the very same mentality of socialism. Okay, and I like what was his name? It wrote "Behold a Pale Horse." Bill Cooper. Yeah. He said socialism's kind of like living with mummy and daddy. All right, mummy and daddy provide you a roof over your head. Mummy and daddy provide you with your food. Mummy and daddy provide you with a car to use, but you have to take out the trash when daddy tells you. You have to clean up your room when daddy tells you. You can't go to that party in the next town with the car if daddy tells you not to. Okay? That's basically socialism in a nutshell. You get all these things that sound really great and wonderful, like a good old sales pitch, but at the end of the day, you don't really have any freedom or independence. And freedom and independence comes from taking personal responsibility for your own self, your own life, and your own actions. And if you're not willing to take personal responsibility, if you're not willing to find a way to support yourself, and you would prefer the comforts of home, heaven help you. You're not going to develop as a person.
Absolutely. I did the same thing you did. You know, I worked right out of high school, but I realized that I couldn't afford to go to school and work at the same time. But when I moved home, in between the semesters, I got a full-time job. I paid my mother rent. I cleaned the house. I did anything I could to help her, to make her life easier because I was there. And when it was time for me to go, when I was done with school, I left. That was it.
Pretty straightforward. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should. If you can't take responsibility for yourself, how are you going to stand up for your rights against the people who are running your country?
Was it Dontes Libertatum non possunt? I think it's Latin for those without power cannot defend freedom.
Exactly.
If you're not independent, if you're not have the ability, if you don't have the ability to support yourself, you're not freaking free, and you can't secure anybody else's liberties. I mean, look, it's like that old Bible prophecy, you know, some dude's like going over to another dude because he's got like some kind of a splinter in his eye or something of that nature, and he tries to remove it, and he ignores the fact that he has a tree branch sticking out of his own head.
Yes. Exactly.
That's what we're doing here, you know, and that mentality kind of oozes into people's consciousness over life experience. You know, you get bitter and you don't like people anymore. You become sort of misanthropic, and I love the word misanthrope. It means a person who doesn't like humans. You know, isn't that interesting? How can you hate humans in general and not hate yourself in the process? And self-hate and self-loathing, manifesting as hate and loathing for other people and things like, leads to a loss of liberty.
Absolutely. And it's misdirected. You're afraid. You're afraid, so it manifests in anger because you're upset about what's going on and you don't know what to do. So out of fear, you become angry and you displace your anger onto other things and other people. Because you're really angry at yourself. You're really frustrated with yourself. You're really scared for your own well-being.
See, I'm angry and frustrated with myself constantly, but I own it. And I just go, you know what, Vinny, you are a bit of an idiot sometimes, and sometimes you don't know what you're talking about. Sometimes you make statements that you can't back up with evidence, and then you just go, oh, man, I was wrong. Whoops, sorry. What's right? And you go in, you do a little bit of research and evidence. Ah, that's what it is. Okay, I was wrong, but now I'm right. I was in the darkness, and now I'm in the light. Okay, and here's another thing. Having the personal constitution, as it were, to admit when you're wrong, I think is one of the most highly prized assets in the human vocabulary. I'm sorry, I was wrong. Most people are afraid of admitting that they're wrong.
Yes.
Most people won't even entertain the possibility and get insulted when you insinuate that they might be wrong. Why?
Or to say, I don't know. You know, nobody wants to admit that they don't know something. No, they know everything.
I know frack all. Okay, that's the only thing that I know is I know frack all.
People don't
I could be
think
wrong
that,
about everything.
People don't think that maybe that everything that they were taught could be wrong and that they would have to re-educate themselves and along the way admit when they come into contact with other people that they don't know or that what they're saying is a program.
Man, I was an arrogant twat who thought he knew everything. Thank God I realized it before it was too late. It's the ballad of the cosmic schmuck. If you think to yourself, man, am I becoming a cosmic schmuck? Then it is very unlikely that you'll actually become the cosmic schmuck. But if you never ask that question. You know, am I being a cosmic schmuck? Then you probably already are one. Question yourself. Question everything. But not just endlessly questioning. Find some frickin' answers. Find some solid ground. And be prepared to admit when you're wrong. And be prepared to go back on what you previously said and say, look, I was incorrect. And now I've got new evidence. And we're going on forth. Okay? I'm not going to sit around being mopey and whinging about it. I'm going to make it happen anyway. Sure, I'm wrong, but now I'm right, and let's keep going.
Absolutely, and keep an open mind, because sometimes new evidence comes out. Over the years, over the decades, over the millennia, it comes out, and have an open mind and say, wow, this is new.
Yeah. I mean, my girlfriend was driving along in the car one day, and her little niece, they were driving past a graveyard. And she was going, hi. Everybody in the car freaked out. And apparently, in a study came out and said that children can actually see spirits sometimes and things like that. And they have certain latent psychic potential and things of that nature. So if your child says something that you don't understand or does something that you don't understand, write it down. And later on, you'll find a meaning for it. Isn't that interesting? I think we all better learn lessons in life. And really, you have to have a bit of life experience and a little bit of humility. We'll be right back after the break.